three men, matching blue t-shirt, white short combo, running together towards the new builds. Slightly behind, another one on a bicycle holding a camera documenting everything. Inevitably, they have pads positioned on various areas of their bodies, clearly visible through the thin material on their clothes, probably monitoring below the surface, making graphs. This is incredibly common these days, finding men of a certain age together running while being filmed, micro-monitored, normally heading in the direction of new builds. Previous generations amassed in smoke-filled pubs, silent or looking at tiny screens showing drunken men just like them, but in movement kicking a ball on waterlogged pitches, heading towards nets hung poorly on a precarious cuboid frame. While the rectangular surface was face-up and green, men with sticks prodding white balls into other ones. Or there would be a circle on the wall, and pointy things were thrown towards its surface. This was entertainment, and it was truly out there. Gesturing towards the partial image flickering, one of them might have said, "Look, they move in a variety of directions." Then seeing their reflection behind the bar, while we sit. "George is standing," another would inevitably call out, though no one about these places would ever be completely vertical, either slumped at right angles or fully prone. And those ones rarely in the recovery position. But nowadays, they are all athletes, men. Buff on testosterone supplements, recording all their athleticism, accompanying thoughts, sometimes as dialogues, but normally awaiting momentary pauses from their buddies to interject without reference to what their companion has just said. Near the new builds, this whole affair can be live-streamed. I'm sure that's why they're often seen going towards them. For where is the attraction of these paper-thin structures but that they are held together by hyperspeed broadband, coming right at you from every angle? I mean, God forbid the Wi-Fi cuts out for any duration, or the inhabitants may notice they live in dwellings made from chipboard covered with decorative bricks. "But we have supergiant Wi-Fi, baby," can often be heard mumbled from slumbering husbands at night as their partner, now downstairs, sits in the kitchen, journaling under stark, gleaming halogen, flickering like the old TVs, writing about all the horrors. Some no longer share beds, blaming the other for the new arrangement. "Why don't they fly?" my companion asks me as the quartet passes us. This companion is within my left hand. You see, I lodged a part of my wayward attention within the recesses of my right foot Monday afternoon, the 17th, but under further instruction I rehoused it within my left hand. With me, the right-hand side has always hogged all the attention, but having developed a jerky shoulder twitch, arthritic big toe, I sensed it needed a break. Perhaps I was never meant to be this way. Still, so many other directions, and the right seems so cliché, backward, prone to sobbing when drunk, drinking to sob. A message written on a small envelope tacked to my door read, "The better part of you has been drowned out by the performance on stage. Someone else has been directing the whole show all along, slowly retreating into the audience years ago, now eyeing the glowing green light saying fire exit. Your attention is pondering the meaning. After all the coming blazes, what's left?" A woman collects my empty plate and cup, hoping to make my continued presence untenable. The look says, "Either leave or purchase. Perhaps a decaf this time?" The left hand stretches, knuckles cracking, the microcosm of attention finally finding some comfort away from the seething morass that birthed it elsewhere. "You don't have to do either. There are never only two choices located at polar opposites. That would be absurd. But remember, the center point along the spectrum is indecision. Anyway, we're talking spheres. The center deep within, no entry along the surface. How will you get inside?" I mime sipping water from an imaginary beaker in my right hand, which has continued to go through the motions while a waiter cleans the table. "I wouldn't want you to knock it over." But we are both startled by a deep thudding noise, causing me to spill the contents of my beaker as the joggers we passed earlier crash one by one into the reinforced glass, followed by the cyclist who flips into it after his bike wedges between the legs of one of his buddies, his camera slowly spinning on the pavement. How will they ever get inside? Thank you.